Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I have a cold that I feel like has a personal vendetta against me.
I know, you were snotting all over me earlier. I wanted to say something, but I was like, do you know what? I'll let her off. She seems in the horrors.
Well, we're having technical difficulties. We're back in basically 2020, but do you know what I had in the bathroom there?
What?
A snot bubble.
That is violent, disgusting. I cannot believe you said that. I actually think I have to go.
Hello and you're very welcome along to the Unpopular Opinion Podcast. I'm a very croaky Jen.
I'm Carla and I can hear it in you.
Oh Jesus.
And that's what's giving me anxiety now, because I feel like the whole time all I'm going to be thinking about is that phlegm drip at the back of your throat. Like, I'm so sorry to all the listeners for having to hear me explain that. But if I have to hear it, yous have to hear it. So
I've actually, do you know what? I'm very good. Like, I never get colds or anything like that. So like this... That's why I feel like this one has a personal fucking target on my head, because that, you know, the internal like passages in my nostrils are actually sore.
Oh.
They're so painful and raw. It's horrible.
Yeah. Ripping, like.
I'm like, eh.
Mm-hmm.
Eh. It's fucking horrible. Horrible. And then it doesn't help that I moved back to my own gaff this week with the renovations and all the dust. Which I basically paid for. So speaking on that, we have Patreon. So for €63, you'll get 5 extra episodes a month. And yeah, the link for that is always in the show notes down below. You know yourself. Mm-hmm. You know yourself.
Get on over there. We did 2 hours last week on Britney Spears' memoir and the genocide. What a combination. But anyway, it happened that way.
Yeah.
And I was lolling so much at all the patrons' comments. They were like, gasp.
They lost their shit.
Episode. Yeah, they were like, oh my God, 2 hours. Buckle up, baby.
Well, they're usually longer than the main ones that we put out on a Sunday anyway, longer. But they're still called mini-sodes. I think we need to rebrand.
Yeah, I think we do. But anyway, if you want more of our content, pop on over there. It's getting into the winter weather. For some reason, offices seem to think that it's a cool idea to ask everybody to go back 5 days a week.
Mm.
Pop on. You know, if you're public transporting, if you're just bored of listening to the radio, come and listen to me and Jen. We get into rawr stuff over there, shall we say. It's rawr.
Yeah, it's rawr. Treat yourself this Christmas season. That's actually a good Christmas present. Like, you know, if you can't think of some... Somebody's like, what do you want for Christmas? Get me a fucking subscription.
Here, lads, we have to talk about it before we get into our topic. ASOS is, you know the way the books do become, you know the way we were talking about this before, and we think it's a bit mad how, like, companies, you can just see, like, all their shit. I just find that wild. I find it wild that you can just, like, go in and see what their accounts are.
Oh, yeah, you can see, like, if they made a profit and stuff.
But ASOS have recorded a loss of $300 million this year.
Shit.
Last year was $30 million. Obviously, I think they were kind of saying, you know, COVID and everything else like that. People were flat out buying. Do you remember how much clothes we were all buying at COVID?
I took the opportunity and to be sensible and save. Everybody else just went fucking hell for leather on the online shopping. We're nowhere to go. Something.
I needed to feel something.
Yeah.
COVID didn't suit me, you know. So
I don't think it suited a lot of people, to be fair.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But no, there was a lot of people it did suit. A lot of people liked sitting at home doing fuck off.
I kind of liked it. I'm not going to lie.
Exactly. I'm looking at you.
We're having technical difficulties. Our fucking machine that we usually record into just did not turn on today, so I had to come home, and now we're doing it virtually. And the second I got in, I was like, dressing gown, no, please and thank you. Yeah. And I'm living the best life. I'm loving being at home.
She's for, oh no, do we have to record at home? Jen, they're already in the car.
Wah, wah. Bye, Carla.
Dressing gown on. Anyway, so 300 million of a loss, lads. My only thing is that, like, although they have screwed us so badly with the sterling to euro conversion and the fact that they just decided to bang on their own little prices, even though something will be like £25, €50, you're like, don't know how that one works. Anyway,
they must have an apprentice doing all the trans, like the doing the conversions.
Jammy bastards, that's it. But sorry, from that. Anyway, moving on. It's the only place that actually has a very decent plus size selection and petite selection, and, you know, kind of different various body figure selection. So that's a bit of a shit one. But at the same time, corporate greed, you know, fast fashion, all those other kind of things.
I was going to say, is it because of Shein and Temu, do you think?
I don't know. I think it's because they've too much shite on it. I think they need to reduce the lines that they have and, like, invest in quality. But yeah, that's probably never going to happen. But it's just like they've way too much tat. And it's actually like getting assaulted every time you go on the website. I'm like, oh, Jesus, you know?
I don't frequent ASOS, I have to say. I don't do an awful lot of online shopping regardless. Like, I like to just be there in person. I'm like me ma. I'd like to pay in the post office. That kind of attitude towards mentality. Retail.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. I'm a fuck for it, like.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of vouchers that never work online, so.
Right.
You know yourself.
You know yourself. Anyway.
I have no money after renovations. I just work in vouchers now. Food that's stamps. You. That's us.
Anyway, we are continuing on a series that we have started previously. So, Jen, if you want to give them a little top line as to what we're doing.
So, recently in the past, we have talked about certain love rats. Love rats is in mainly men. I think we have talked about like Ariana Grande was probably our love rat female.
Jesus, don't mention it, fucking hell, don't mention the war, Jesus Christ.
She couldn't be having equality. But the so we've done mainly men, so we've done Leaf and Blue, which that was dramatic. Callum Best, and this time we're doing
also pretty dramatic.
Well, I mean, we didn't get a response from Callum. We got his phone number, but we didn't
get his phone number.
We still have to do something with that.
We're fucking lunatics. I was only thinking that the other day. Like, we should probably be arrested.
Do you know what fucking happened? He joined Snapchat because it came up a notification. Somebody in your contacts, Callum, is now on Snapchat. I was like, Jesus, Callum's actually going on Snapchat. And it is his actual thing, because we put him into WhatsApp and his profile
and it's
comes
his
up.
Actual profile. Yeah, I know, it's wild. It's
actually
so wild.
Will you DM us on Instagram? The link's below if you don't already follow us. Just like give us ideas just for the crack. What should we do? Should we prank him? Like, should we give us, can we do so? We have to do something. We can't have Callum Best's phone number and do nothing with it.
We can.
It feels like a waste.
We tried.
Anyway, this week. And this love rat we're talking about is good old Mika from Simply Red.
Mika. I love the way you call him Mika.
Mika.
Mika mad.
Head on him. He's a Mika. If ever I've seen a Mika.
He is a Mika. Yeah, so Mick Hucknall. Now, I think this was this a listener suggestion? I think it was.
It's bizarre to me now.
I think it was a listener suggestion.
He's had such a long string, yeah.
It's such a... First of all, mad old life the man has had. Grew up with his dad was a single dad, so he grew up with his dad, and he said before that, like, the reason why he kind of became a bit of a love rat, shall we say, is because he didn't have the presence of a woman's love in his life with his mother gone.
He didn't respect women.
Yeah. And he has said, he has come out and he has apologised a good few times. Now, what I will say is he is married, he has a child, happy out, living between Donegal.
Nice.
And
him and
SJP. Sicily. Him and Sicily. Yeah. Donegal and Sicily. Yeah,
I'd
him SJP and Paul Rudd.
There's Paul Rudd.
Well, that's where he had his fucking stag, or one of the lads had their stag, isn't it? And apparently now there's a ton of celebs that do be going back and forth.
Yeah, Donegal is a big one for the celebs. Oh, come here, just a little. I know this is off topic, but I saw a video earlier of all the celebrities that we need to boycott because Gaza Israel, Paul Rudd's on the fucking list.
Why?
I'm heartbroken. He signed a petition. Something got to do with saying no to a ceasefire. Yeah. I don't know the context of it. Don't quote me on it. But I've heard that Paul Rudd
is on the context of it. I'm just putting it out on
my
podcast.
No, well, I don't know the actual, like, the mandated script that he signed or put his name to or put it against. But he was on the list and I was heartbroken.
Did you see the drama with Amy Schumer and Asia Jackson? She pronounces it Asiah Jackson instead of Asia.
Fair play to her.
Fair fucking play to her. But also, I'm screaming at Amy Schumer, do you have a problem? Yeah, I do.
Fuck off, Amy. Oh, fuck Amy Schumer. Seriously.
I didn't realise she was such... I've seen a lot of stuff on the old TikTok now. I didn't realise that she was such a cunt.
Oh, the Jews hate her. Like, the Jews don't claim her one bit.
No, but the bits and bobs that she has been doing over the years with her husband, all that other kind of stuff. Oh, my God.
Oh, with the autism. Yeah.
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 Jesus.
She steals jokes. She's an Islamophobe. She's a racist. But she claims that it's all comedy, so.
That's great, isn't it?
Yeah, well, for her, well, getting away with all that. But and she still won't be cancelled, which is so fucking annoying. Like,
yeah, that is bonkers.
It's just, I'm like, no, your time is done now. That's enough.
And yeah, you're talking, but this is, I think, one of the biggest things is that, like, with Asiah. So Asiah is a actress, and I think she has kind of come out and said that, like, the repercussions, she understands that the repercussions for her will be mad, but at the same time, she doesn't give a fuck. She's doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody just keeps pointing out how Amy Schumer will still continuously work. And I don't know why it is. There's just a couple of very blessed by the way that they can pretty much do say anything and get away with it. Will Smith, Amy Schumer.
Yeah, it's more so the privilege, I think.
What's his face? Shia LaBeouf. Like, there's a ton of people that just seem to be able to do whatever the fuck they want and get away with it. So it's just kind of bonkers.
I think it's the amount of people that they make money for, probably.
Yeah, I think that. And I also think that, you know, the way you live in a little bit of a bubble. So it's kind of one of those things that it's like, we all think, everyone knows that now. But, like, my dad wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah.
But her celebrity would be larger than the random shite that I'm looking up. Do you know what I mean? So, like, if he, not that he finds her funny, I'm just using my dad as an example. Say if there's somebody out there, someone's parent or someone's uncle or someone's friend that just wouldn't really be, like, looking this stuff up, that found her funny and that enjoyed, like, knew who she was, because obviously Hollywood is a bigger beast than social media, I would say. And they would, the only thing that they would know would be
her comedy or whatever.
Yeah, the comedy versus all the other mad shit that's actually been going on. Her politics. You know? The man behind the madness. But yeah, so I think Asiah had come out just being like, I know I will face repercussions, but I just do think it's bollocks how we continuously, like, let these people just riff it, just say whatever the fuck they want with their platform, and away they go.
Well, hopefully this, among other things, obviously there's bigger things at hand that need to be sorted, but this might be another positive break away from, like, what's been happening, is that there might be a bit more of an awareness and a bit more of a boycott against fuckers like this.
Yeah, see, it's a weird one because I also saw, and I don't know if everybody else saw this, but I thought it was interesting, Selena Gomez's statement.
Oh,
did you see this?
It's like, oh, she'd have been better off just staying silent like she did. I can see why she thought it was good, because she was just like, I stand for innocent people. And that's it. It's that simple. But it's like, shut up with your fucking, I'm taking a break from social media because it's too hard on you, Selena. Like, you. And then, isn't Rare Beauty, I think there's a not, it's like ran by Zionists.
Yeah.
It's, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a bit of that going on too.
Oh, just, you're all fucking mad, in the words of Ozzy Osbourne.
I think the issue was, and this is something that I saw kind of pointed out a few times was that in her post, she says a lot of shit. But anyway, she says, "I'm sorry if my words will never be enough for anyone or a hashtag. I just can't stand by innocent people getting hurt. That's what makes me sick. I wish I could change the world, but a post won't." She has 430 million followers.
Yeah.
So her turning around and saying a post won't help to her 430 million followers.
Most of them American.
Yeah. Pro-Israel. Like.
Yeah. I know.
But at the same time, thinks a post won't hurt, but also has had to come out multiple times and ask people to stop sending Hailey Bieber death threats because of the stuff that she's
exactly.
put up. So it's like a post won't hurt, but a post
won't make a difference kind of thing.
A post won't make a difference, but the difference was how much everybody boycotted Hailey Bieber and Kylie Jenner over the eyebrow lamination fucking bollocks drama that they had not too long ago. And Hailey had to go into essentially lockdown for the summer over it because people were so in uproar because Selena had called them quote unquote mean girls.
Yeah.
But a post won't help. A post for a ceasefire won't help. Okay, girl.
Oh, fucking hell.
Give us nothing.
Yeah.
And this is the thing with Selena Gomez, and I know I'm rocking into dangerous territory here because you can't say a thing about the birds. For fear that there's one absolute stan listening to this podcast right now and just essentially fuming. You have to get over it. I'm really sorry. Really sorry. You might want to turn it off right now if you're a big Selena Gomez fan. Might want to mute this for the next while. But I don't think anybody has an absolute responsibility to post anything on social media, but I do think that there's no official responsibility, but there is something when you have that extreme level of influence. And also you don't run your social media page, you know, so like if she's getting a load of backlash, that's grand. You don't fucking answer your DMs anyway. It's not going to affect your business. It's not going to affect your fucking online celebrity. You'll get other investors, you know. There's a lot more to it, but I just think it's a little bit of bollocks, isn't it?
Well, especially as somebody of that calibre, like.
Something else that's interesting, sorry, before we go back to Mick, good old Mick, we introduced him and then we left him.
Oh, sorry, but, the Donegal thing and the Paul Road, I got sidetracked there, sorry.
And then before we knew it, we realised that we were boycotting people. But something else that I think is important, because we did speak about it last year when this news broke, Al Pacino's ma, his mozzer. Sorry, I don't know if she's an ex-girlfriend now, but anyway, she's in her 20s. He's in his 70s. She had a baby for him. And she is looking for 30K child support per month. So I would say things have worked out quite well for her.
For her, definitely.
Yeah, I would say things have definitely worked out quite well for her. Pretty much set for life. She's also going to be putting money into a tuition fund for him, and she's getting 110K up front.
Where does that figure come from? Like, I know Aftermill has gone really expensive, but that's a bit extreme.
It is extreme, and there is this kind of conversation. I always bring it back to like the Black China and Tyga case, because I think that's such a like very pure form of this is kind of like this is. Sorry, it comes up time and time again because obviously she has tried to go for child support quite a few times for Dream Kardashian, who's her child with Rob Kardashian, and then King. I can't remember what King's surname is. Anyway, but the issue I think that it keeps coming back to is that Tyga and Rob have their kids 6 out of 7 days. I think she only has them for 1 day a week, but she is trying to get child support for all. For essentially 50-50 custody. And that was one of the things. I think when she went to court, Tyga was like, hey, why would I be paying you child support when I'm the one who's fucking supporting the child? And this has kind of come up time and time again. Because I think a lot of people are like, oh, it worked out really well for her. Al Pacino was a multi-millionaire. He knew what he was doing by having a kid.
Well, I remember at the time when... she had the baby or she announced the pregnancy, but he... was basically saying that he didn't know he could get her pregnant because of
Shut the fuck up.
But I think the reason for that, because I remember slagging it at the time as well, and then I kind of thought about it afterwards, and I was like, oh, maybe he got a vasectomy. And you know, like, there was a very specific reason why he said that.
Okay.
Or I don't know whether it was, so he never like delved into it, and I never really looked further into it, so it could have been either the vasectomy it could be ED. Like, I don't know why he said medically I didn't think it was possible for me to get a woman pregnant. This was in general.
Yeah.
Because, like, was he not? No, Robert De Niro, was he the 80-year-old? No, Al Pacino said that.
Pacino's 80. So Al Pacino is 80. Yeah, you're right. Sorry,
he was older. And I was like, yeah, that doesn't really die off for a man. Doesn't matter the age. So, like, what the fuck?
Well, funny that you say that. There is a lot of talk at the moment. So studies have never really been done that deeply into sperm.
Yeah.
Okay. Into the quality of sperm.
Right.
So a lot of the time, sorry, this is another kind of conversation that a lot of people are having at the moment as well, because of like women's biological clock and all that other kind of stuff. And how, you know, by a certain age, it's because we know that the egg and all that other kind of crack, like, we know women's biology and we know like the chances and geriatric mothers and all that other kind of stuff. But there is something a lot of people have kind of said, that there's a lot of like women blaming and women shaming when it does come to like an older parent, like a woman in her 40s or her 50s having a child.
It's always so shocking, isn't it? When like a woman in her...
But then there's also 50. This big kind of, you see a lot of kind of backlash, particularly if the child that is born has any kind of birth defect. The blame is put on the woman. Mm. But there has been no testing. And that's obviously how misogynistic that medicine is. But, you know, it's kind of been done, you know, over the years. But there actually hasn't been a ton of studies into the quality of sperm.
Yeah.
So all we know is that the egg and all, how, you know, fragile it can be and all that other kind of stuff, and all of the testing that has been done, just to essentially be like, that's the blame put on women, God bless, good luck, goodbye.
Yeah.
Versus the level, there has been, fuck all to, I'm not going to say absolutely none, but there has been very, very minimal testing into the quality. Because if you think about it this way, how would the quality of the sperm be the same at 19 as in your 80s?
Yeah. And like, it is the deciding factor, even down to gender and...
Yeah.
Everything.
And that's what I mean. So there was a TikTok? I think it was TikTok. And then I actually looked into it a bit afterwards, because I was like, this is fucking disgraceful, because you never really hear about it. Mm. But there has been so much, like, sorry, there's not been enough put into actual genetics of men as they age when it comes to like reproduction factors. Fucking knows?
There's not nothing out. Look it. They're fucking responsible for an awful lot. I went to the hospital. Wait, I tell you this story, right? I went to the hospital during the week. Got me date, me section D. 21st of December. Lads and lassies.
That's beep, when, beep, right in time for Christmas.
Beep, beep. That's when she'd be arriving. Now, it could be a day early. It could be a day late. Depends on the surgeon. But generally, officially going forward, that's the day. But she had said to me, because I'm having an elective section this time, because first of all, the person who reefed Bobby out me, she said, going forward, I recommend you get sections, just because of your makeup and the size of the baby. It didn't really suit. Anyway, I didn't labour on Bobby at all. He wasn't going anywhere. She just said to me, look, just bear in mind.
Labour on him.
I didn't. Like, there was no.
I didn't labour on him.
There was he. I did not dilate a millimetre on Bobby. He was going fucking nowhere. We tried induction, tried the whole thing. Absolutely nothing. I couldn't. Like, cervix jammed shut. Couldn't even try and break me waters. Like, just wasn't happening. But aside from that, I think it was got to do with like proportions and stuff like that. But I just remember the surgeon coming in the next day. Her name was Claire, and she just said, look, bear in mind going forward, I recommend you go for elective sections from here on out. Like, you know, this is just like from her kind of post-op kind of observations, whatever. So when I went in this time, I was like, do I have the option? Do I not? And then the nurse said, well, you got preeclampsia the last time, so you're kind of high risk, so you'll probably have to have an elective one. We probably won't give you the option. So I was like, grand. Two appointments later, it's like, no, this, it's an elective section, this is the date, whatever. But the doctor that I was with during the week, she turned around and she was like, what happened with the preeclampsia? Did you have high blood pressure for the whole pregnancy? I was like, no, I've always had low blood pressure. People always wonder how I'm still standing. It just be so fucking low. It's like, unbelievably, it's like below average of a blood pressure, right? It says, but from about 38 weeks, it started getting higher. When I was on the operating table, the anaesthetist kept saying to me, do you have high blood pressure? Because, and I was like, don't know why he's asking that. So it must be high on the monitor, whatever. And she goes, no. So the second baby, she goes to me, are you still with the same partner? Is this the same dad? And I says, yeah. And she goes, I know that's a really weird question. And it seems intrusive. She says, but the theory is, and she says, this isn't like Bible, but the theory is the woman's body can have a reaction to the man's genetics. And that's what causes the preeclampsia. So she said, it happened on your first, but because it's the same partner, the chances of it happening on your second are very fucking low because your body knows the sus.
What's going on?
So I says, so it was that fucker? She goes, yeah.
He's a lot to answer for.
Are you fucking joking me? So she says, look, bright side, rest assured, it probably won't happen again this time because your body knows, like, do you know what I mean? But she says, there is a theory out there that it's the man's, like, genetics that actually do that causes preeclampsia in women. I was like, you fucking... Back came home. You, see you. What a fucking liberty. So, yeah.
Here I am again so, with you.
Basically, there needs to be more, like, looking into the sperm because fuck me, they're lethal.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There you go. But anyway, sorry. So,
Mika.
Mika Mad. Anyway, Mika Mad. So, oh my God, she's beautiful. I completely forgot about her. Sorry, I just saw a bird that he was with. So anyway, good old Mika Mad. Let's chat a little bit about him. If you don't know who Simply Red is, get on the discography. I personally not a big fan of the music.
I hate Simply Red's music. I hate it.
It is like such dadcore.
Yeah. It's parent core. My mom liked it.
Yeah. It's so parent coded. It's like, okay, I don't know.
It's boomer. Boomers.
It's music. Big boomer
and
energy.
And I don't think, you know, sometimes when you're growing up listening to the music that your parents listen to, you're like, that's shit. But when you get older, you have a bit more of an appreciation for it, like the Beatles, the Beach Boys, kind of like fucking Bay City Rollers, whatever. Simply Red has just never done that for me. I never come around.
Fairground is they were going a bit, it was a little diff.
No.
It's got the like things going on in the background. It's got the whole nine yards. No. I will say Fairground is a bop.
I don't like
Well, they're allowed one bop, you know? They're allowed one. Anyway, good for him. Good El Mika now is 63. Born in the US but grew up in the UK from there. His grandparents are from Offaly.
Nice.
No, there you go. Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier on, the mum bopped pretty live-o after he was born. So he was brought up by, he was three actually. So he was brought up by his dad.
Okay.
There you go. Anyway, lots about him. We all, Simply Red is his most known musical thing.
Mm-hmm.
He was the front man and kind of like, to be honest, I don't know a fucking thing about Simply Red other than him. Big into the Dáil Labour Party, big mates with Tony Blair, makes sense.
Yeah.
To be honest, makes sense. Anyway, his personal life is what we're here to talk about.
Which is actually so surprising, because I would have thought he was like an uncomplicated, undramatic king.
No, he is like, he's a complicated, undramatic king. Anyway, a couple of things that I think are interesting. He owns a full estate in Donegal. He actually owns, like, his bandmates and him own the estate.
Nice.
Kind of, it's nice, but it's also kind of strange. They have a fishing and hunting tourism business.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, he's sued the fucking council a few times. Sued different neighbours. Anyway.
Why?
I think that, yeah, just for like fishing rights and all that other shite, you know, totally. All that bollocks that goes on when you own a manor.
See, when we retire, I want us to do something like that. Start fucking suing everybody. Yeah.
Sue each other.
Buy something together. And set up a little business that we don't even need to, like, supervise, and then just start suing everyone.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, fuck it.
Passive income.
Yeah.
You know? Something else that I think is interesting is that he he kind of basically lives Donegal, UK, and Sicily, Catania. And the reason why he spends so much time in Sicily is because he produces wine there. Can you guess the name of the wine?
Is it Simply Red?
No, that would have been fucking better.
Is it not better. Simply Red?
No.
What is it?
That would have been so much better. It's Il Cantante. Do you know what that
stands
for?
I would have never thought that.
Do you know what that stands for?
What?
The singer.
Oh, fuck off. I can think of 10 names off the top of my head that are breakaways from Simply Red other than
I know, that would have, yeah, that would have made sense. Anyway, a couple
of things.
They could
have done Simply White, Simply Rosé.
Like, that would have been brilliant. Maybe it's because of Tesco and Simply Fine. Like, I'm sure there's a reason why they couldn't have done it, because that's a big miss.
Suing people over fishing rights. He would have sued fucking Dunn's or what is it? Yeah, Simply is Dunn's, isn't it? Yeah, it's Simply. Yeah, he would have fucking suing them.
Dunn Stores.
Yeah.
Mick Hooklow versus Dunn Stores. Anyway, that's, yeah, Simply Red, Simply White, Simply Rose. That would have been great.
He should fucking be coming to me for the advice, I tell you.
Yeah, you're brilliant at branding. Look at you. Brilliant at branding.
There's something well else done. That I'll do when I retire now.
Yeah. So, look, I have to get it out of the way, and I need us all. If you don't know who Mick Hucknall is, I need you to go and have a go.
Everybody knows who Mick Hucknall is once they see a picture of him.
Okay, cool. So anyway, he has said previously in the past, and this has been corrected a good few times, he said that he slept with over 3,000 women. Yeah, take that in.
I'm letting the dead silence happen.
He said between 1985 and 1987 he was shagging 3 birds a day.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm just gonna give you some
there's no video this week. I'm here.
I really wish there was.
I don't like, I've said it before, sometimes I can't help it, especially with my pregnancy hormones. I find it very fucking hard to hold back. But if by now you've seen the picture of Mick Hucknall, I'm trying my very best to believe what he's saying, but I'm sitting here with squinted eyes.
I absolutely believe what he was saying. Because wait until I tell you some of the birds that he's been with.
He must mover.
He must be some fucking great. He must be some mover. He must be some mover.
He must have a great personality.
Yeah. He said, I know. So he basically said, I'd sleep around 3 women a day, every day. I never said no. That was what I wanted from being a pop star.
Okay.
So that's kind of very much like, he was like, I was off to shag. Like, shagging was number one priority. Singing was number two priority. But definitely shagging. Shagging over everything. Top shagger.
A little Austin Powers going around the place.
Yeah. Fully. Yeah. Top shagger. Good for him.
Mick added a shagger.
He has come back and since said that he never said that. He said probably, he was kind of like, oh fuck, over 1,000 at this point, I was shagging everything.
Right, okay.
So I think newspapers kind of was like, you know, headlines, fucking paparazzi, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But he has said a good few times that has he actually claimed he slept with fewer than 30 women? Okay, that's very odd. Sorry, some of the stuff that you see, you're just like, right, whatever. So he's kind of come back and said since that he broke a lot of birds' hearts, and he's very, very sorry with his behavior and the way that he did act. But he was like, look, if I could go back and change it, I probably would.
Oh, well, so, like, reformed. Knowing what he knows now, and obviously he's an older gentleman. Yeah. So, you know, he's more into the suing now.
Yes, that's exactly it, Jen. That's exactly it. Anyway, he has said, he's kind of attested that, you know, his people, when he gets interviewed, people just ask about his dating, because obviously what a dating history he's had. But in particular, he has said that he was trying to kind of look for love, if you will.
Okay.
Look for love, because he felt like with his relationship with his mum that he never did have. Now, they did reconnect. She lives in the US. They did reconnect when he was older and probably famous, which always gives me a bit of an ick, but at the same time, a ma's a ma. Yeah. And he said he's settled, completely happy, completely settled down now. He has a child. He only has one child. And he has a wife, and he's kind of settled down now. He did have a very checkered past when it came to an ale bit of cocaine and heroin, which seemed to be the thing to do back then.
The drug of choice.
Sorry.
Okay, he was young, fun loving, having the fun. Like, what age was he between 85 and 80s, them years?
30s?
Ah, yeah. With no kids and, like, not being settled
down?
Yeah.
Wait until I tell you about the birds. Okay. Wait until I tell you about the birds, right? Get ready. So, I think it's important to note... I'll start from the bottom. Lady Victoria Harvey.
Oh!
Good for her. Ulrika Johnson.
I can see that.
I can see that too. I could actually... Power couple.
Yeah.
Power couple, no?
Yeah, I can definitely see that for some reason. I think I remember that relationship the media, like, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that's why I can see it, yeah.
Yeah. Bridgette Nielsen.
Okay.
You know her. Sylvester Stallone's ex-wife. Yeah, good old her. Kylie Bax, I don't know who she is, but she's beautiful. Lindsay Dawn McKenzie, don't know who she is, but she's also beautiful. Alicia Duval. I remember that.
She's in fucking everybody's list.
She's in Callum's and Lee's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steffi Graf.
Okay.
Which I think is very interesting. Mm. No? Do you not find that interesting? I find that interesting.
Who is she?
Steffi Graf. Tennis player Steffi Graf. Andre Agassi's wife. Yeah. One of the most famous female tennis players of all time. Adriana Carambo. She is absolutely beautiful. They were together for 3 years. Good for him. She's a cracker.
Yeah.
Model bird, as per usual. Martine McCutcheon.
No, I can't see that now.
Now, this rocks me a little bit because of the age difference.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Martine's in her 40s and he's in his 60s. So there was definitely at least a 15 to 20 year age gap there.
Right.
And that was in 96. So she would have been...
young.
Very young.
Jesus, right, okay.
That kind of freaks me out quite a bit. Kathy Lloyd, I don't know who she is, but again, an absolute babe. Catherine Zeta-Jones.
You are fucking joking me.
And the photos of the two of them together, when I mean Catherine Zeta-Jones was absolutely... She is a beautiful woman, but she was...
smoke show
banging at this point, and like, this is when she was the hottest bird on the planet. Yeah. You know,
I remember, like, that phase.
Yes Do you remember when everyone was like... Now, what I will say, she's kind of always liked an older ugly dude.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense. No,
Michael Douglas is far from ugly, but she...
I wouldn't call him hot.
No, well, he's far from ugly, but I do think her taste in men is questionable. Yeah, it wouldn't be mine.
Do you think Michael Douglas is hot?
I think there's something about him, yeah.
Shut the fuck up!
What?
Would you... Would you actually go there?
If you... So, right.
Sorry. Shut the fuck up. Would you actually go there?
Michael Douglas.
I can imagine it. I can imagine it.
I would. Hey, daddy.
Okay.
Yeah! I actually would. Yeah,
I'm not even talking about his age. I'm talking about even when he was younger. I always thought that he was a bit like serial killer vibe.
Oh,
no?
Really?
Yeah, I always thought that he looked mad serious. Like, he put me on edge.
Yeah, no, I just don't think he's the worst. That's there's definitely, like, you compare him to, like, say, all right, smash or pass. Michael Douglas and Robert De Niro.
Mick. I'd pick Mick over Michael Douglas.
Now I'm questioning you.
No, charisma.
No.
Yeah.
Mick Hucknall.
There must be something about Mick. Come on.
There obviously is Come something on. About Mick, but when you're talking about a phase where he was Mick Hucknall, but he was also coked Mick Hucknall and heroin Mick Hucknall.
Yeah, but he had something about him.
No, he didn't. He never did. Not in my eyes. Smash or pass Michael Douglas or Mick Hucknall. You're going with Mick-a Douglas.
No.
Take a Mick-a. Douglas all the way.
Anyway, there's a couple more birds. So Catherine Zeta-Jones, I just had to stop because the photos of them and a pair. So he dated her at the same time as, sorry, not at the same time, but it's within the same year as Helena Christensen.
Who's that?
One of the most famous models in the world.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Jesus. Helena Christensen.
Brunette Cameron Diaz.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah, actually, that's a very good. Well done. Melanie Sykes.
Wow.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. This is where everything ties in nicely. Alex Best.
No mm-hmm. way.
Yeah.
Fuck. Oh, so yeah. We're linking them all up now.
That's what I mean. We're linking them all up. And then Gabriella Westbury.
Okay.
So I think that's his wife now. I think. Let me just check. Pretty positive this is his wife now. Yeah, they've been married. Yeah. Married for 13 years. And that is who he has a daughter with. Sorry, Jen, you would. Like, he's not the...
That was back
Michael
in the
Douglas.
Day.
That's 2005.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, good for Mick. So... This is kind of like, again, like no other mad, wild, outrageous kind of factors here. But it is to say he was in those kind of like Love Rat roundups. He was very much Heat Magazine's kind of person, do you know?
Which I just find still so unexpected. Like, he was never on my radar as a kind of Love Rat or like making the rounds.
I know, but he was definitely suggested by someone, and I do actually. I do remember him quite frequently being like, you know... It's always that like loose arm over the shoulder, like stumbling out of a club kind of photo, isn't it? And like some beauty, like kind of like this, like ducking her head before they get in the taxi before he goes and shags three other birds, apparently. But like, he was one of those.
Yeah.
I feel like I always knew this about him. I've never wanted to know this. This information came to me.
Against your will.
Against my will. But it was something that was very much conscious when I was growing up. Yeah. You know?
All right.
You know? Anyway, as he said, he's reformed now. He's got his old life going on. He does have a daughter. The daughter was born in 2004. And he has came out and said that he had it was a very dark period for him.
Yeah.
He has apologized. He said, you know, a redheaded man is not generally considered to be a sex icon, but it didn't stop me.
Fair fucking play.
Fair fucking play to you, you know. You and Ed Sheeran, go wild. Yeah. He said, when I had the fame, I went crazy. That's when he was talking about shagging all the birds. I was living the dream. My only regret is that I hurt some really, really good girls.
Yeah. And I like that he's reformed and he's apologised.
Yeah. Like, looking back, you know. He said he got bored with his sexual adventures. I never got the emotional contact that I craved.
There you go.
Ah. Yeah. And he describes himself as the boy that everybody loves to hate.
I wouldn't hate him, but I kind of see where he's coming from with that.
Yeah, I don't really... Yeah, that's a bit mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, there you go. That's Mick-a-mad.
Mick-a-mad, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Before we go and record our Patreon episode, I have an unpopular opinion. I agree with Katrin Heigl. I saw a video about her during the week and I was like, why the fuck was she cancelled? Now, somebody can correct me, but I'm pretty...
Who's Katrin Heigl?
Katrin Heigl, she was in Grey's Anatomy.
I hate her.
Why?
Oh my God, she's like so fucking irritating. And I don't think she's a good actress. And I feel like we were overexposed to her. Not her fault, but at the same time, very overexposed to her. It was like I couldn't turn around for not seeing her. She was in that other fucking movie about being pregnant, wasn't she?
Yes. But yeah, this,
what was that?
So this is why Hollywood gave her a bad name. And oh. I was like, why the fuck did Hollywood kind of turn their back on her? Why did everybody start hating her all of a sudden? Like, what was the actual starting point? So I looked up, like, you know, these fucking tea spill pages on YouTube and stuff. And I was like, what was the start of the demise for Katherine Heigl? So apparently it was because after shooting the film Knocked Up, she basically said in an interview, she was like, yeah, no, it was a good film and it was like, it was grand and all that, and it did really well. She says, but I'm kind of like looking back on it now going, I'm a little bit raging that the woman in it was portrayed to be this like fucking moan bag, whereas like all the fellas and everybody else was just like a great character.
That's Seth Rogen, isn't it?
And I was like, I totally get that, because it's time and time again, and I've been auditioned for roles and I've been in roles and I know people who have been in certain projects, and it's so similar. The men are always like the funny ones, the laid back ones, the all this, the all that. And the women are just kind of put in there just to be like a fucking referee and like a moan bag.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I can't. But all of the cast and the producers and the directors and stuff like that just completely turned against her because they couldn't believe she said that. And that was the start of her demise in Hollywood.
No way.
Yeah. But I agree with her. I don't think she deserved that at all.
Interesting.
There you go. I don't really get why people hate her so much. I personally think she's fine. And she was like, there was a lot of people saying, there was some, I don't know who came out and said she was a diva or whatever. And she was just like, what, because I speak my mind? Because I'm just standing up for women in, like, the industry and stuff like that.
I'd love to look into that, actually. Yeah. All the people that have just been, like, labelled divas and, like, why?
Yeah. But, like, she's done, like, Vogue interviews and all this sort of stuff. She was like, well, like, if I'm a diva for saying that, I think it was unfair that there wasn't enough kind of...
Yeah. No, fair.
Like, in that specific situation where, like, if she says, if I was wrong for speaking out about her or calling out the fact that the women are portrayed as being moany fucking bastards, well, then I'm a diva.
Like, yeah, no, and to be honest, I'd probably take it back, because, like, what I will say is that all of the characters that she has played have been, like, mega moany.
Yeah, and I think that's what kind of she started to realise and speak up about, and that's why... people were like, oh, because they just kind of took offence to the fact that it was their writing that she was speaking about.
But I feel like, yeah, probably that. But I also feel like for women, it's like if you get cast in like one or two roles that are like, people think you're like that because we don't know you enough.
Mm.
So you almost have to like break through for people to get to know you. So then they can be like, oh, actually, yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they just have that one standing opinion. Yeah.
To go off, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this week we might leave your stomper, but you can add one to the list. But
I added one.
Yeah, okay. So she added one to the list, but because of the technical difficulties.
Surprise.
But the link will be in the show notes, so you can just tap on the little linkity link and see all the songs that Carol has added over the course of, I don't know how long we've been doing this.
How long have we been doing Stomper? I think there's 100 and something songs in the playlist. Let me just triple check.
So over 2 years, probably.
So over, oh yeah, I'd say over two years. Let me see. I can't find that bloody thing. It doesn't actually tell me. No, it just tells me how many saves. Anyway. A long time.
There you go. Thanks a million for listening. Anything that you can click on is down below. And we will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.